everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show today. What can you say? It's like I said at the beginning of the show yesterday, Ray. We'll get through this week, my goodness. But it was kind of an all-time early, hitting 100 at 9 a.m. Actually, it was 102 degrees at 9 a.m. So I don't know. We may be very close to the all-time record of 200. Kind of feels that way, doesn't it, Ray, sometimes? 117, which was set in 1990, but we'll see. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. That means if you're around a computer anywhere in the world, you can hear our program live at buckmastershow.com. Also, we have KVOI.com is our, of course, partner, and they have their website, which also streams our program. Let's get right in now to our featured interview with Mary Mattiella. Mary is seeking the Democratic Party nomination for Arizona's 2nd Congressional District. Mary made it official yesterday, speaking before the local Democratic group. She joins now 8 other Democrats who have announced or are exploring a run in CD2 to challenge Congresswoman Martha McSally. Mary is a native of Southern Arizona. She served as the Chief Financial Officer for the United States Forest Service, Assistant Chief Financial Officer at HUD, Housing and Urban Development, Assistant Secretary of the Army for Financial Management and Comptroller. That's a position designated by the Department of Defense, and it's the civilian equivalent to a 4-star general. Mary was nominated by President Barack Obama for the position and received unanimous Senate confirmation. She has, to say the least, a very impressive resume. She has a doctorate in education. She's a CPA. Mary, how are you? First of all, congratulations. You do have a very impressive resume, and congratulations on your announcement that you are now an official candidate.
Well, thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into politics. This is your first kind of foray into that area.
Well, yes, I am from Southern Arizona. I grew up in Tucson. I also, as a little girl, was raised in rural Arizona, Picacho and Marana. I am very invested in seeing that Southern Arizona succeeds. I believe we've got good industry here with Davis-Monthan, the University of Arizona, a very strong hospital organization here. But there is so much more that can come to Arizona in terms of jobs, improved education, health care, things that the Southern Arizonans need that I believe me focusing on all the people in Southern Arizona can help bring to Southern Arizona.
Where do you differ with the current Congresswoman? Are there some major issues that you differentiate yourself from her?
I differentiate myself from her in my approach to health care. I believe that everyone should have access to health care. I also differentiate myself in the funding that education needs. Too many, first of all, we have the lowest education, almost just about the lowest education rating of all states in the United States. So obviously our education system needs much more attention and funding. Also, I want kids that go to the University of Arizona for it to be a lot more affordable. They're incurring way too much debt. So our universities require more funding, and I believe that we should have debt-free education. So I think that helping people to achieve success, to move forward, is an important agenda that McSally does not have.
How about making sure that tax dollars go to the right place? You're a numbers person, aren't you, Mary?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. For example, we all know that the wall President Trump is proposing is going to cost up to, the Senate Democrats say, with maintenance and building and all, $70 billion. Those $70 billion can pay for debt-free college education. Those $70 billion can go to funding health care for all. They can be better spent in other areas where people are truly in need of some help, a lifeline for them to succeed. In the end, when we invest in people, there will be a payoff as they grow and they succeed and get better jobs to this nation.
How about your Defense Department connections? And you've got some association with the A-10, even though the A-10, of course, is an Air Force product. The Army has been very instrumental, has it not, in determining the future of the A-10?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I just want to back up a little bit. The first time I worked at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base was in 1968. I was a summer hire there when I was in high school.
Wow.
That was my after-school job. After school, I used to work at the boneyard at the controller office there. That's when I met my husband. My husband is a career Air Force officer. So I have a lot of ties to Davis-Monthan and to the Air Force. And I certainly want to see Davis-Monthan thrive. And I was happy to see that when the A-10 was being considered to be mothballed, that their customer, the person the entity that was helped by the A-10 mission, that is the United States Army, the folks who are on the ground, stood up and said, no, we want the A-10. So the United States Army, of course, the Chief of Staff of the Army, Secretary of the Army, and all the senior leadership, they went to Congress and said, no, we want the A-10 to survive.
Mary Matiaia has been, as you say, you grew up in Tucson, went to grade school and through the U of A,
yes.
Getting your undergraduate degree and then your master's also from the U of A, then went on to get an education degree. So education, obviously, very important to you. That's a doctorate. From where is the doctorate?
George Washington University. It's okay. A program. It was called the Executive Leadership Program. And my dissertation was on the role of trust in organizing. So I think it's just really important that we work with people, that we listen to each other, that we build expertise, that there's good teamwork. And so if we don't listen to each other and work together, there will not be trust. It will become a very dysfunctional situation.
Are there some things that can be done to bring better jobs to can the congressional representative in CD2 help economically? How does that happen?
Oh, yes. It's my responsibility, or it's our responsibility as representatives of Southern Arizona, to talk about the assets that we have in Southern Arizona. We have a great university that produces very, very skilled labor. We have a hardworking populace here that will go to any length to make an organization succeed. We have a lot of natural resources. One of them is solar. So we have to aggressively entertain and recruit companies that are in the alternative energies to come to Southern Arizona and build their industries here. We have the people, we have the skills, we have the university. And so there's a lot that they can that would benefit them when companies come here.
All right. So how will you structure now your campaign? This is, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you are new to politics. So do you think people are looking, in effect, for someone kind of a new, fresh blood, new face?
Yes, I do. And first and foremost, I believe when they look at a candidate that they're looking at somebody that is relatable. Somebody who has experienced Southern Arizona, for example. I grew up here. I grew up in the south side of Tucson. I know what needs those hardworking folks in Tucson have, what the culture is here and what the values are here. So I believe I am relatable. I believe, of course, I've worked all my life to develop the skills that I have. I work well. I have experience with working with the House, with the Senate, with the executive departments in government. So I have a lot of experience. I'm also able because I am relatable, to do the fundraising that's required to win this race.
There's going to be a lot of fundraising you're going to have to do.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes. There is, yes.
Are you ready for that?
In order to represent the people of Southern Arizona, I will do anything. Of course, that's legally and morally exactly necessary. And if it means that I have to be calling a lot of people, asking for help for fundraising, I will do it. That's because this is an important job. And I have the energy and I think communication skills, the relatability to be able to do that.
Now, how about where people can find out more? You have a website?
Yes. MatyeyaForCongress.com. is my website. Matyeya for Congress is also my Facebook. So they'll be able to see what my background is, what assets I bring to this job, and what my values are. And of course, they'll be able to communicate with me directly by using that website and that Facebook.
Mary, thank you very much. A pleasure.
Thank you so much for
Thanks
having
a lot.
Me.
12:15 now on The Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman is waiting in the wings, our certified financial planner. The market is kind of a thumbs down, a little bit up, a little bit down, but mainly down right now. Shelley's next on The Buckmaster Show.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life. With a little humor and whimsy, Tona Chula is honoring the environmental significance of native bees during National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party. Meet your bee and enjoy locally distilled Three Wells Tequila and Whiskey Del Bac. Sample the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb. And try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaries. Join them on Friday, June the 23rd for a pollinator party. For more information, visit tonachule.org.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares. And the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show, we have a newsmaker interview planned with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, plus Tohono O'Toole and the Adopt a Bee program. Buckmaster airing noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelly Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we like to consult with Shelly Fishman at this time every Tuesday, right about 12:20 exactly. Mr. Fishman, Shelly, how are you?
I am well today, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing well. We're kind of monitoring the weather, watching the temperature push toward maybe a record high. But, you know, after 110, what are you going to do, right?
You know, I've got guys working on the house right now.
I know you do.
Replacing my down air conditioning
system.
Of
all the days.
So
isn't that called Murphy's Law?
The hottest day in the galaxy, it really is.
LPL, your financial
broker dealer,
thank you, comes out with a prediction for kind of, well, they do a year end, they do then a mid-year prediction, and we're at mid-year time, aren't we?
Yeah, they've got a pretty robust staff of economists that drive their investment policies for those people who use their investment advice. I don't. I manage a lot of my own investments for clients, and in some cases I use third-party investors. But the LPL economic team is about as sober an economic team as you can get. They typically are very analytical and very conservative in their estimates.
Yeah, I was going to say they tend to be on the conservative side. Like, what was their, going back 6 months ago, their year-to-year prediction was about 3%.
Low single digits.
Yeah, wasn't it about like 3%?
Yeah, we're
something?
At 20 now.
Oh.
So look, I value the fact that they're giving sober and well thought through advice. But just as we do a disclaimer that my views don't necessarily represent the views of LPL, I've got to say that the views of LPL don't necessarily
reflect my views.
But today we should review their mid-year report,
which came out last week. What are they saying?
Well, they're saying, and here's one element where I do agree, that the economy for the rest of the year, to a very great extent, is going to be driven by Fed policy. Now, they forecasted, and this didn't take a great deal of foresight, that the Fed would raise interest rates last week, and of course they did. They're forecasting that the Fed will do it one more time this year, and that's the most likely scenario. Everybody pretty much agrees to that. The question that you have to really ask when you look at the Fed is, what are the Fed's objectives? And they essentially have two. One is an inflation objective, and the other is a full employment objective. And the economy at the moment is meeting or is likely to meet the Fed's inflation objective of 2%. And we're at very close to full employment statistically. I know that, you know, when you're an individual and you're not perhaps getting the results you think you should be getting out of your career, you don't necessarily agree with that. But at 4.2, 4.3%, that is statistically full employment. And so this gives the Fed all of the excuses it needs to reverse its stimulus policies and begin to readjust its balance sheet, get rid of a lot of the stuff that it was buying during the time when it was buying, you know, literally billions of bonds a month. And so it's doing that because it believes that there is a reduced need for stimulus now. So that says that to the extent that the run-up in stocks has been a result of free cash, you know, very low interest rates and Fed stimulation, that we're going to go back to more business fundamentals to drive growth going forward. And you and I have spoken about that now for several months, that we are seeing a normalization of the markets. And of course, the minute I say that, we have this Trump rally, which I believe is not sustainable. Nevertheless, here we are at mid-June. We're about 20% on the Dow for the year.
It's 20%.
Yeah, it's close to that. We were at about 20,000. We're to 22,000 now. So I could work the numbers exactly, but from day to day they're going to change a little bit. But the LPL forecasts for the year are thinking that the market is going to wind up 6 to 9% up for the year. Now, that means a 10% pullback.
Yeah.
If LPL is right. So, and I'm not suggesting that their crystal ball is very much better than anybody else's.
What are they basing that on,
though? Well, they're basing it on, again, the kinds of fundamental analysis that you and I have talked about in the past. That if you've got GDP growth at around 2-2.5%, that if you see stock growth that's more than about three times that, that is not sustainable. And we have had that from time to time, and this seems to be a year where we're going to have that. And you just wonder how the markets can sustain those valuations when the underlying pieces of the markets, the firms that make up those markets, are not realizing growth or profitability that is anywhere near what you would need to justify those kinds of price-to-earnings ratios. So that's one of the things. It gives me a little bit of – it gives me some credence in what LPL is saying. The other thing that they're saying, because you not only have stocks involved in any forecast, you've got bonds involved as well. As interest rates go up, and they will go up at least one more time this year, what happens is that the price of bonds tends to go down. So the yields go up, the price of bonds goes down a little bit.
Have they been going down?
No.
Oh, okay.
Quite frankly, no.
All right. But that's odd.
Yes, it is absolutely against everything that you learn in in Economics 101.
Yeah. Right.
But the run-up in bonds, the bull market in bonds is now 15 years old. What's more, theoretically again, as interest rates in the very safest bonds, say the 10-year Treasury bond, as those interest rates go up, the spread between the very, very safest bond and the riskier bond, say the high-yield bonds or even muni bonds, that risk goes down, and when that spread goes down, and when that spread goes down, people's propensity to want to take that additional risk goes down as well. So what LPL is saying is that you should underweight bonds against what would normally be the mix that you would have in say a 70-30 portfolio or a 60-40 portfolio, that you may want to keep some cash on the side, number one, and number two, that maybe instead of your full allocation of bonds, you'd want something less than that in this particular environment.
So if you had a 70-30 mix, kind of a traditional mix, stocks and bonds.
Exactly.
If bonds have been going up and stocks have been going
you're
up.
You're doing real well.
Yeah.
Right. And the question is.
Which, again, is against the way it's supposed to be. Stocks go up, bonds
exactly.
go low.
You know, that seesaw, that so-called
right.
lever.
Right.
But when you have anomalies that last as long as these anomalies have lasted, you have to ask the question, are they anomalies or
right.
are they a new normal?
Are they the new norm?
Yeah, because remember, in the late 90s and the 90s and the turn of the century, it is so difficult for me to say turn of the century and think of that
right.
rationally, but you begin to see that the theory which said that markets act rationally, that theory, new market analysis and all of that new market theory, began to break down. And people began to say, but people don't act rationally. People are not rational. And therefore, markets are not rational. And the minute you begin to actually think that markets do not act rationally, then you can have things that should work in opposition to one another working together. And that's kind of what you had as bonds go up and stocks go up. For instance, if you do any tracking on high-yield bonds and high-yield bond funds over the past decade and a half, it's been amazing. I mean, some of the returns you can get in high-yield bond funds these days would surprise you, even though you would think theoretically that they shouldn't.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, thank you. We will look you up at buckmastershow.com. There's a link to you, and you do return phone calls.
You bet I do.
So we appreciate it. Have a great week. Try to stay cool. Okay, all right. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and yes, it's very hot outside, but if you're thinking of a nice road trip to kind of get away from the heat over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our sponsors, the rains have actually come already now to that area, Silver City, so it cools things down. It's only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Go to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing of the many things to do in the area, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and just kind of hanging out, some great historic sites in downtown Silver City. Also, the listing of all the wonderful places to stay. We're going to be talking next about the Cradle to Career program. It's Pima County's partnership for graduation and beyond. And with me in studio is Amanda Kusick. Amanda, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Amanda is the senior director of the Cradle to Career program, which is now about 2 years old. And Amanda was instrumental in getting this program launched. What had this, first of all, how do you define the Cradle to Career program, Amanda?
Well, I would say first, rather than saying it's a program, it's a partnership. It's okay. A new way of working together
in our
community.
Yeah, because people hear program and right. They think, oh yeah, another program, right?
Exactly. So this is a new approach for our community to work, across sectors, to look at improving outcomes, from very young ages until from birth, all the way through their elementary and high school years until the time a student would enter a career.
And had it been done in other cities successfully?
Yes, we're part of a national network, the Strive Together Network, which now has 71 communities that use this framework.
Let's talk about what is the framework then.
We call it the Strive Together Theory of Action, and it's across four areas that look at how your community works together to share data and use data for collaborative action. So you're using evidence-based decision-making. You have a collective and shared vision, so everybody's on the same page about what the outcomes are and what the measures are you're trying to move for kids. That you're looking at sustainability and investment together, and how you bring different sectors of the community together for collective action.
So a lot of kids drop out of school. We know that, mm-hmm. right? How do we keep them in school?
Right. So, I mean,
that's part of this,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's no one silver bullet. So this is a really complex issue we have on our hands. And it takes a lot of people and a lot of great minds and a willingness to put individual agendas aside to work for the greater good.
How many kids or what percentage of kids that start high school in this community generally don't finish?
About 1 in 4.
1 in 4. And there are varying reasons for that, I guess, economics, other things. But what do you think can be done to change that?
I think there's a lot of things that can be done. Certainly, resources play a big role in the issue, and we don't shy away from that. And we also know that just investing more money into the system won't necessarily result in outcome improvement either. So we need better data sharing and people coming together to not just store data on a shelf in a fancy report, but to look at it and use it for continuously improving the strategies that we have.
How do you know the program has been successful so far over these 2 years? What information do you have that would point you in that direction, Amanda?
Well, Strive Together has a very rigorous theory of action with a lot of different benchmarks, and they divide that theory of action into four different gateways. And I'm really proud to say that in just 2 years, we've moved successfully through two gateways. We're now in the third gateway called the Sustaining Gateway, and very, very few partnerships at the national level have done this in 2 years. In fact, I was just on a call right before I came here where we're getting national recognition and other communities wanting to learn from us about how we're moving so quickly.
Let's go over some of these, the way you do kind of track over time, how you measure it. I believe it starts with children entering school that are prepared, right?
Yes.
3- and 4-year-olds in quality early education. So that's kind of our starting point.
That is our starting point. It's a proxy measure. As soon as our state has a validated kindergarten readiness, kindergarten assessment, we'll end up swapping out that measure. But this is our best proxy for knowing which kids and how many are prepared for kindergarten.
The next benchmark that's very important, third graders, right?
Yes.
What? Why is that such an important grade?
You know, around third grade is in brain research shows us that kids start to transition from learning to read to now reading to learn. So they can learn the rest of their school subjects. But if they haven't hit that critical benchmark, the rest of their schooling career is going to be very difficult.
Middle school, very important, and especially when it comes to math.
Yes. Biggest predictor of high school success is actually how well a child does in eighth grade around math.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hope the child has then moved on to high school. So you want to get the high school graduates ready for college, and if not college, and or a career, or both,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So then the young adults, hopefully they complete college. How do we get them then ready for a career? We're talking, I guess, in the 20 to 24-year-olds.
Yeah, we're really looking at partnerships with our university and community college system around having pathways mapped out so that young people know exactly what classes they need to be taking that are going to lead them to having value in the labor market. These might be 2-year degrees or 4-year degrees, but also looking at certificate programs that really leads students down a path where now an employer says, yes, they are ready for at least an entry-level position in my company.
Why is math so important? I was just looking at your brochure here. Students passing Algebra 1 by ninth grade is really a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, we met with our superintendents that are part of the partnership, and we asked them, you know, in terms of the high school years, when you have them in these ninth through 12th grade years, what are the biggest factors, the biggest indicators for on-time graduation? And they absolutely said looking at kids passing Algebra 1 in the ninth grade, and as well as regular school attendance, that if we don't have that happening by the end of ninth grade, it is very difficult to catch them up.
And then I was just looking at one of your charts, percentage of 16 to 24-year-olds that are not in school and not working. I'm really surprised how high these percentages are.
It makes my stomach hurt.
It really? You want to share with our listeners a little bit about those percentages?
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you look at Pima County, we have about 25,000 young people who are not connected to school or work between the ages of 16 and 24. So in terms of a percentage, we're...
Native American population, 35%? That is shocking.
It's heartbreaking.
And have some of these gone down a little bit since this program began in 2013?
Unfortunately, this particular measure has gotten worse over the years, but we are seeing improvements in some of the other ones.
Okay, where are we seeing improvement?
So we definitely have seen an uptick in the percentage of 3- and 4-year-olds who are enrolled in a quality pre-K experience. So mm-hmm. we now have 700 more 3- and 4-year-olds in quality care since the start of the partnership, which is great to see. We've upticked 1 percentage point in the percentage of third graders who are reading at grade level. So those are a couple of our achievements.
How can people get involved? Would you like community members more? Is there room for more folks?
There's always room for more folks, and we're a very inclusive partnership. So we encourage people to go to our website at c2cpima.org. You can download a copy of our latest report, as well as contact information and some of the different networks we have doing work on the ground.
Amanda Kusick, thank you very much. And again, the website C2TOC, correct?
It's C2.
Oh.
CPIMA.org.
There you go. Amanda, thank you very much. And congratulations moving forward with the Cradle to Career. And I won't call it a program, but I'll call it an effort that is a partnership that so far has been very successful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library. Visit library.pima.gov to find your next favorite book and browse hundreds of activities and special events just for kids now through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or library.pima.gov to find out how.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, a Tuesday edition. A very, very hot day in Tucson, Arizona. But I think for all of you gardeners, and I include myself in that category, I think the advice, and my friends at Green Things would echo this, if the stuff is in pots out on the patio, you really need to get out there morning. At, 6 to 7-ish, and then late in the day, water down the pot. Give everything a really good watering, because this is just exceptional hot weather that we're having. Green Things is at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Parks
Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. That's their fine website. They even have a link there now to the Buckmaster Show, which is very nice. But they also have a full listing of all their workshops that are free, great gardening workshops. Let's bring in now to the Buckmaster Show, Marge Pellegrino. Marge, congratulations. You are the Pima County Public Library's newest writer in residence. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Bill.
This is a great honor. This is terrific. What does this encompass?
Well, what's really exciting about it is I get to have office hours and meet with people about their writing projects.
Wow.
So I get to encourage, I get to answer questions, I get to point people in the right direction. It's just been, I started June 1st, and it's been every single person has come in asking something different and hoping for something different from the time together. So it's been really wonderful. So,
does it go the whole gamut of literary interests, from poetry to fiction, nonfiction, the whole thing?
So far, I've had it all.
And you'll have to answer questions on all of it.
Which is fun because I've published in all of it. So it's been great.
And that's what I want to talk about. Your own literary journey has been predominantly, Marge, built around young people's books?
Well, in terms of my
your
books.
Own. Yes, your
yeah,
books.
My books are all either, I have a few picture books, I have a young early chapter book, and I have a novel that won the Judy Goddard Award a few years back. So I've, in children's literature, I've got it covered, but I have in the past published nonfiction and poetry, and working right now on an adult novel.
And let's talk a little bit about your children's books. My Grandma's The Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
That one came out a couple of years ago, right?
That's been out for a while, and it's about community and about, you know, it started, mm-hmm. Bill, because I noticed that we were the only parents, very few parents were involved in PTA, and I thought, oh, these kids are not seeing how engaging in community feels really good. And so My Grandma's the Mayor came out of that wanting to share how great it feels to contribute.
And directed to what age?
So that's a picture book. So mm-hmm. that's first and second grade.
How about Too Nice?
So Too Nice is now in five languages, which speaks to the fact that cross-culturally, there are poor boundaries for women. So that's a book about personal boundaries, about learning to be able to say no.
The Judy Goddard Award-winning novel, Journey of Dreams. Tell us a little bit about that.
So that book chronicles, it follows a family during the sanctuary movement days when Central America was experiencing civil war and genocide. And it follows this family from their village in the highlands up through the sanctuary movement, helping them up into the Phoenix area.
You are a past recipient of the Tucson Weekly's Local Hero. Congratulations on that. Yes, Marge Pellegrino, passionate about sharing the power of words. Since 1999, you coordinated and have coordinated programming for the Owl and Panther Project. What was that about?
Well, the Owl and Panther is...
What is that
yes,
about? Not so, in the past tense, but
right,
is.
Right. Owl and Panther is... a project, an expressive arts project, that works with families impacted by torture, trauma, or traumatic dislocation. And so we work with a very specific cohort of refugees, and we've created a community where they learn about community service, how to engage in the community. They learn about expressive arts, all kinds, writing and art with the Tucson Museum of Art. We've had a wonderful partnership. They get to go and then outside. So we've worked with Rancho Luce. We've worked with Tucson Village Farm. We have a plot there. So if
wow.
you go to the farmer's market at Tucson Village Farm and buy your groceries tonight, pick your own groceries, you'll see that we have our own little plot there.
We have a great library system.
Oh, I can't say enough about it.
It's really a terrific system. And now, as part of the program, the Writer in Residence program, do you then go from different libraries around?
So how this works is I have two office hours, one at Woods, on Tuesdays and one at Nanini on Thursdays. And people who are interested in visiting with me one-on-one need to call either one of those libraries and make an appointment.
Woods and
Nanini.
Nanini.
And then I'm also doing some workshops around the residency and some workshops for summer reading. I'm going to be doing some a writing workshop in the garden at Tucson Village Farm. And so I'm going to be doing a lot of different writing workshops. So if people want to explore their inner writer, there are plenty of opportunities over this summer to make that happen.
How about your own background? Where are you from, and when did you go to your first library? I'm sure you went to as a kid to the library and sat in one of those little chairs. I loved those little chairs. I used to love hanging out at the library.
I know. So Eastchester was my library, Eastchester, New York.
I've just been a curious person.
Yeah.
Started at the library, though,
right?
I'll tell you.
Right.
Okay, so you, New Yorker.
A New Yorker.
Mm-hmm.
And don't hold it against me.
No, I won't. I'm from Chicago.
Okay. And then, so I've been a patron, though, of the Tucson Pima Public Library since for 38 years.
Wow.
And Woods was my home library when I first moved to town. It was my first place where people were welcoming to me. So the fact that I get to be now at Woods, to be welcoming to new writers or people who want support for their writing is just, you know, 38 years later, it's pretty exciting for me.
Can you dole out some general advice about writing, that questions that you said that most of the people have been coming, that they all have different kind of areas of interest so far,
mm-hmm.
but are there some general things that people want answered about their writing?
Is it good?
I thought that was going to
you know,
be
so
the,
so far
at the top.
It's been, is it good? Is this any good? And I think
and
we're
how do you,
well, we're so yeah. easy, you know, even myself, I had to come up with a blog for the library blog, and I was just like, oh, they're going to find out I'm an imposter.
But I thought that would be the first uh-huh. thing at the top of the list. Is it good? And of course, is it good? That becomes very subjective.
Yeah. So right. if they're asking, is this idea good?
Right.
Or is the craft good? Or, you know, there are all things, different ways that we can look at it. And so when people are asking, actually, they're sometimes asking for advice, like, here's where I am now.
Right.
How do I take the next step?
Right.
And that's, you know, that's process,
uh-huh.
right? And if they want to know about a craft, we can look at a piece mm-hmm. of their writing and answer the, you know, those questions. Does this work? Is it, could this be smoother? How else could you say that? Or look at this. I had a young woman in today. She ended her paragraphs in the best way possible.
Wow.
She just understood this, and she was in middle school. So,
and I'm sure you'll get this one. I'm off to a great start on whatever I'm working on, maybe a novel or something. But Marge, I have hit a roadblock.
mm-hmm.
And I don't know where to go from there. I'm sure that question's going to come up.
Well, it may, and I'll be ready with some journaling
and
ideas.
And you'll be ready to help them with the ideas. So you look at yourself in many ways as a guide to help these people down their literary journey.
So, yeah, maybe a mentor, a guide.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a mentor would be something more long-term, mm-hmm. but a guide, an enthusiastic witness to what they're doing. And with some, you know, I've been doing this for about 33 years. I've been claimed myself as a writer, writing longer than, you know, since I was a little kid. But I've got the hours in, I think, to be helpful.
Is this for all ages can come forward
absolutely.
To meet with you?
Absolutely.
Even the young'uns?
You know what? If this middle school student was mm-hmm. there today,
yeah.
ready to go, and we just jumped right on it.
All right. And again, as we wrap this up with Marge Pellegrino, who is the newly named Pima County Public Library Writer in Residence. It's a wonderful program they have. What are your office hours again?
So people would need to call to make an appointment. I'm Tuesday at Woods from 10 to 12 and at Nanini from 10 until 1.
Mm-hmm. And you said there'll be some workshops?
And there will be some additional workshops. All people need to do is either go to the library website and they can Google my name under events, and I'd be thrilled to see people. And I'm pretty enthusiastic about writing as a way to really ground yourself and clarify
and just
who you are.
Real quickly, I see Writing the Image is one of the workshops, July the 13th
mm-hmm.
is coming up.
Tomorrow I'll be downtown to make a better Tucson. And I'm
you're doing some poetry on July the 15th at Pima Community College, the downtown campus. But again, check with the Pima County Library website also
yes.
will have this.
Yes.
Marge Pellegrino, a pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'm so glad to see you. Thank you for having me with you.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, we have Mike Check, the name of the local talk show, hosted by Mike Shaw, Ray Allen ably assisting Mike with the program. Then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. Our guest will be Councilman Paul Cunningham. We're going to spend a half an hour with Paul tomorrow on the show, and of course other things as well as usual. On behalf of Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Try to stay cool and be safe this afternoon.